It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 143, coming to you like Slash in Guns N' Roses, strumming those sweet chords in the opening of Sweet Child of Mine. On this week's podcast, we have long held the view on this podcast that the Russians are listening to us on our phones. We fact checked this theory and other things with an actual scientist.
He knows all about what nuns are capable of. His cousin once insulted a nun, and the next day he was pregnant. Don't remember that. But Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
She doesn't have X's, she has Y's, as in why the hell did I date you? Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as Eamon Dunphy sings controversial stuff like, he's the guy who ran away with his wife for a young one.
Yeah, baby.
We're on off the podcast with our
Yurts and
Dirts of the Week, baby.
Lots of new listeners are discovering the gospel of the Two Johnnies as a respite to lockdown. Can we politely advise that you go back to the very start and listen from podcast one? It's better that way. It'll make more sense and it'll just improve your lockdown. But before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. On nicknames, Claire said, when I was in college in Ull, otherwise known as UL.
Ron Burgundy.
I had quite the reputation for being a sesh hound. So much so that the girls started calling me Malachy McCourt, the Alco dad out of Angela's Ashes, who keeps drinking the money instead of buying food for the family.
Yes.
Actually, being from Limerick seemed to add to their entertainment of the name, which they eventually shortened to Mal. And that's how they always introduce me to fellas on a night out. Needless to say, I've grown out of the sesh hound tendencies a little bit. But any time a catch-up comes around with the old college crowd, and I regress to find myself answering to Mal again. Nice one.
Oh, that's my favourite nickname so far. Jack said, just listen to tomorrow's Mr. Topic on nicknames. Thought I'd send in a few names from my group of mates. So we have the Kiwi, a man of Arabic descent. He was given this because he is brown and hairy, like a Kiwi. Browner, which then developed into HP and then into Uncle Sauce. Oh my God. The bus stop McLaughlin, who ran through the glass panel of a bus stop following a night out.
How are you, bus stop? Okay. Well, Padraig was in touch to say, for years, people call me Gunter, and the story behind it goes as follows. Back in the day, 17 years ago now, when we used to have a game of ball around the estate, and it could be at least 30 lads, no joke. One day, after getting my unique haircut off my mam, a number 3 all over, I headed out for a game. My neighbour, who was none other than the Cork City legend that is Graham Cummins, was out with us that day. We had great weather that summer, and it made my blonde head go white from the sun. So as I get the ball, I hear a shout from Graham. Come here, lads. Isn't he the head off the fella Gunter from Friends who owns the coffee shop? Well, the whole place burst out laughing. At this stage, I had no clue who he was on about. So from that day, it stuck. But they don't spell it with a H. But it gets better. Skip forward a few years when I was playing for the under-16 Cork team in Laois. The bus journey up I kept to myself. Said nothing, keep the head down. After the game, one of the lads, Nicky Kelly, a Mayfield man, said in his best Cork accent, come here, Gunter, boy. No word of a lie. I thought you were Swedish before I heard you shouting on the pitch. And you think it ends there, but no. Playing minor for my club Nemo Rangers in Ballinlock, the selectors didn't know my actual name for the team sheet, so they asked my schoolmate, who couldn't confirm. So he went with Padraig Gunter. As I'm warming up, I hear the team announcement. Number 1, Padraig Gunter. It didn't really help the prep when the team heard it. To this day, people still don't have a clue what my name is and think my actual name is Gunter. And the odd time if my dad's out for a pint with me, even he calls me Gunter. My missus' parents and family all call me Gunter. Even our 3-year-old daughter, the odd time for a laugh.
Oh my God.
How about you, Gunter?
That is brilliant. Okay, enough of nicknames. Give me some music. There we go. Yes, Bass Hunter's back, baby. Aoife emailed. She says, Bass Hunter was playing in a Midlands nightclub, which will remain unnamed. But naturally enough, me and a few friends were there to see his show, in inverted commas. He played a few songs and then came down onto the dance floor. And it's fair to say he was fairly well done at this point.
What, really?
There were a few drinks tables around the edges of the main room, which also had vinegar, salt and ketchup on them. Of proper rural. After Bass Hunter had been on the main floor for a few minutes, he came down to one of these side tables and proceeded to neck two bottles of vinegar and then exclaimed, "That's good vodka. Great night all the same." Do you know what? I don't even care if that's true. If you made that up, I'm quite happy to put it out. Bass Hunter, what a man.
What nightclub had salt and vinegar on the tables during Bass Hunter?
It's got to be an Offaly, man. Just in case you wanted a few chicken nuggets to go with your vodka Red Bull.
That would be nice. More stories about the sesh. Megan was in touch to say, one night out, I was a little too well on for the disco. I realised I had lost my phone, so I started ringing it, trying to look it up. But every time I typed in my number, it would say the number was busy. So in my state, I was getting thick, thinking someone stole it and kept ignoring my calls. Anyway, I can't remember much after that. And when I woke up the next morning and went to work, completely forgetting that I had lost my phone the night before. Later on, after my lunch break, I went to make a phone call and saw I had 52 missed calls. 52 from a number the night before. On closer inspection of the number, I realized it was, in fact, my own number. Then it all came flashing back that I thought I had lost my phone. I had, in fact, not lost my phone at all and had rang myself 52 times looking for the phone that was in my hand the whole time. Moral of the story is, don't bring naggins into the disco.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to talk about the times I lost my phone. And
oh, my God. God, I haven't lost the phone in years. I went through a bad patch of...
You saved me the last time, man. Remember I lost my phone in Dublin?
No.
And we... Do you remember? And we
We
put on the, like, Find My iPhone app. And then it brought us to some housing estate.
In the middle of nowhere.
The middle of nowhere.
Like, Trench Town.
We had to wake up the taxi driver, and his wife was like, "He is very tired." And we were like, "Get him out of bed. He has my iPhone." The two of us at the door, and she was like,
"My husband is just home from work. Why are you waking us up, Johnny? Yeah. Where's my phone?"
I was like, "My phone says it's here." Like, I was like, "Get him out of bed." And we waited for like 10 minutes, and she got him out of bed, and he was like, I was going to drop it back to the hotel. I was like, give me that fucking thing.
No, he was sound out.
Yeah, he was sound. I'm not saying he was going to rob it, but like, he did drop me off at a hotel that's open 24 hours. Huey said, when me and my friends were 17 or 18, the August bank holiday came around and the sun was booming. With no plans on the Friday, we all agreed 12 of the lads would go camping on the beach in Roscarbery on the Saturday night. We stopped in the Centra in Inishannon on the way and bought slabs of cans and shoulders of vodkas and mixers.
On the slabs.
A few lads in the group were renowned around the town for being a bit mad when on the sauce and having the best reputation for their actions when pissed, like our buddy, John is what we'll call him for this story. The first sign there was something special in the air on the night was when four of the lads arrived later on into the town of Roscarbery and shouted, "Oi, oi!" and beeping the horn as if they were parading the town after winning the county championship. I could see the locals were horrified, so we went back to the beach to keep to ourselves and set up half-arse tents, set a fire, and party time began. After about an hour, four of the lads had a bright idea of going to the Celtic Ross Hotel Bar, which was a 15-minute walk up the road from the beach with no streetlights. The rest of us said we were happy enough to stay on the beach, so off the four of them went, including the famous John. The beach was good crack. The only bit of mischief that occurred was that one of the lads needed to take a number two and decided to do it on the sand in the middle of the beach. If you think that's a bit mad, wait till what unfolded later in the night. At about 12:30, one of the famous four arrived back onto the beach. He was smashed, but he was back safely. And when asked where the other three were, he replied, "Era, we got into a random wedding in the hotel. We were throwing shapes with the bride and groom and all, 'twas savage crack." John then had a Snapchat story of him at the wedding with a GA training top and a pair of jeans on in the middle of the dance floor. The crack would continue flowing throughout the night on the beach. At 2:15 a.m. another wedding basher arrived and made it back safely to the beach. The fire was gone at this stage, and as we ran out of fire blocks, he had his pants around his ankles stumbling. We saw his flashlight on the phone from 100 yards down the beach, and we honestly thought it was a zombie by the movements he was making. He was out of his bloody mind, couldn't talk. No sign of the other two lads, John and the other fella, we'll call Kevin. We were fairly chill about it until 6:30 a.m. Suddenly, we saw a paramedic running down the beach towards us.
Jesus.
He said, "Do we know a Kevin?" We said, "Yeah, he's our buddy." The paramedic told us someone rang an ambulance because they saw him passed out in the middle of the main road outside the hotel. Whoa. And almost rolled over him. It was bright at this stage.
You can't be at that now.
This is going too far now. The guards then came to the beach to make sure everything was all right. One of the boys asked the guards and paramedics, did they see another fella on their travels? They hadn't seen him at all, so the guard had brought three or four of us up to the hotel to see if he was there. Kevin couldn't remember anything about John's last whereabouts. We were having a crack about where he could possibly be. There was a rumour he could have went back to an old one's room from the wedding. But then the Gardaí and ourselves were fearing the worst as time went on because of John's past and the fact Ross Carberry is surrounded by water. We honestly walked the length and breadth of the town to try and find him. No joke, we even stopped in the Londis at 7 a.m. for breakfast rolls to de-stress, not having a clue where your man was. We then found his phone and credit card in a bush outside the hotel. No sign of himself, though. There was honestly a few of us shedding tears at this stage as hours passed and the drink made us emotional. Me and the boys were no longer joking about his whereabouts. The hotel manager was checking CCTV and he was last seen leaving with Kevin at 4 a.m. I felt so bad for the wedding guests as they were awoken by Gardaí asking them have they seen our buddy. RossCarberry.ie on Facebook described him and all and loads were sharing and commenting. He was my next door neighbour so I knew his father well. I was given the job of telling him. At around 10:30 in the morning I rang his father, told him. And I started crying down the phone as I could hear his voice was crumbling as he talked back to me. He came to Ross Carberry ASAP. The Gardaí told the father they'll send out helicopters if he's not found before 12. Few of the lads did one last walk between the beach and hotel. We were all in disbelief. We were shouting his name for dear life. And would you believe it, we hear, "All right, boys," from a massive bush 50 yards away. Who else arose from the bush than the man himself? He was passed out in the bush for what must have been 8 hours. Freakish. He asked us what's wrong with us and his face dropped when we told him we were searching for him for the last 6 hours. I must say the staff at the Celtic Ross Hotel were very helpful towards us throughout the pandemonium. That's a night out.
Ah, lads.
How drunk do you have to be to sleep in a bush for 8 hours? Like?
8 hours is a bit of a stint.
Yeah, do you know, if it was like, oh, I was asleep for half an hour there in the ditch, it was, you know.
Yeah, that's totally normal.
Yeah, totally normal.
Everyone does that. I mean, you wouldn't blame...
I'd say if the father bet the and then hugged
him.
Too soon to call the parents.
Bit premature, like. Yeah, the father is definitely like, I love you, son, and then you just split him with a sweet headbutt.
Back to our topic of sixth year pranks. Anonymous listener said, in our school, one lad let off a firework in the school. It created a crater in the ceiling and before he could be sanctioned, he fled the scene in an 04 Volkswagen Golf. Another story.
Of course he did.
He said, lads took scallops from the construction room. Now, I'm fairly sure scallops
an onion-like vegetable.
A fish. Like
a you worked in a fancy restaurant, Neil. What's a scallop?
Shellfish.
I'm thinking of a shallot.
Fancy onion.
Yeah, how fancy? Fancy onion.
Anyway, they took this fish from the woodwork room and thought it would be hilarious to slice the bottom of bags that were left on the bag racks. So you'd go to pick up your school bag on your back, stride a few steps, then bang, the contents of your bag would plummet to the ground. They were all sent to detention after school, but they were absolute rebels, so they just left at the end of the day and illegally piled into the back of my cousin's van and sped off home. Hard to get away with that.
Yeah.
Another time, they saw a stray cat outside. So one of the lads, Niall, asked to go to the toilet, but instead collected the cat and decided to let it run through the school. The cat wasn't discovered until it wandered into first year's class, who went insane with the sight of this cat. And the teacher, who was a right bitch, went mad and told the deputy principal to come and get the cat and put it back outside. This time, Niall was caught and suspended for a week. He was threatened with having to take his leaving cert at another school. His response was, "Sure, fuck this, I'm going to fail anyway." Last but certainly not least, Neil's family ran a delivery company around the north. One of the metalwork teachers made the fatal mistake of ordering a package which was being delivered by this company. And of course, Niall realized who the package was for. The package was delivered anyway, but the teacher's address was noted. And for the next few months, Niall decided to send the teacher miscellaneous packages. Niall told this teacher on graduation day that he had been tormenting him with the packages, and by God, did the shit hit the fan. Side note, Niall got 113 points in his Leaving Cert. To our international listeners, that is not good.
Yeah, that is not a good result.
Not good.
Now, on to something very, very important and close to our hearts. Hashtag save our chicken rolls. The campaign rumbles on. Liam said, I was out in Super Value in Knocklyon in South Dublin today, and what I was handed deserves to be called out. I went up to the deli, ordered a very simple choice of a chicken fillet roll with just mayonnaise and lettuce. You'd think it would be maybe €4 at a push, but no. Much to my horror, I see a sticker for a fiver.
What?
They charge the chicken as a topping in a chicken fillet roll along with the mayonnaise. Fair enough charging for the lettuce, lads, because that's not standard for everyone. But surely the chicken and a dribble of sauce can't be deemed as extra toppings. And what's worse again, not even a hint of a bottle of water or a small can of Coke to go with the fiver. I feel this needs to be addressed with the powers that be. We are the powers that be.
We feel it needs to be addressed too.
And no better two men to announce this horrific pricing for what it is. In all fairness, a semi-decent chicken fillet roll at best. I guess you could say it's not much Super Value in the place after all. Wow, let's not slight on Super Value.
Sick burn, John. Sick burn.
Yeah, I like your use of words there, Liam. There's only one word for that though, Liam. Outrageous!
Jordan was in touch. The model, nice to hear from you.
She wants to join in the chicken fillet roll debate.
She said, can I get your opinion on my brother's hot chicken fillet roll? Since you're both chicken roll enthusiasts of the highest order. He gets a roll, spicy chicken fillet, mashed potato and gravy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'm on a chubby.
Do you know what? Like, I was like...
That Jesus is a Christ. Great topping.
When I heard this, I was like, ugh. And then I was like, oh, I bet that's unbelievable. Now, would I have, you know, the cojones to approach a deli counter and ask for such, you know, a monstrosity? I don't know. But I'm definitely trying this at home, 100%.
You know you're going to be stodgy.
Oh, yeah. You're eating that on a Sunday when you're hungover, like, and it's just like, feel like basically you want to just stuff your stomach full of styrofoam. You know, you want that full feeling.
That would do for Christmas dinner, yeah.
Yeah. Who's going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug sponsored by KC Sports, who sell all the lovely Two Johnnies merchandise? You can see twojohnnies.ie or kcsports.ie for more info on that.
Maura, who do you like for the mug?
I love the nickname Malachy McCord. Yeah. Or I feel like we should probably give the mug to that poor lad's father who's still probably traumatised. But yeah, the Malachy McCord nickname's pretty
good. Yeah, I think like, listen, that was a mad story about your man in the bush and stuff like that. And I also liked Gunter, but I think Malachy McCourt is just... And the fact that they shortened it into Mal and still address her as that to this day, that's perseverance, Anna, and we like that here. So, Malachy McCourt.
Yeah,
you know.
don't be ringing lads' parents until the absolute necessity. You know what I mean? Stressing people out
there. Give him at least 12 hours.
Yeah,
right?
What was his dad going to do?
He was going to fret even more.
Come down and worry.
Yeah, we worry enough he'll be back.
Yeah, you're at home, they're happy out. Can't be having this.
Yeah, so Malachy McCourt, you have won this week's mug. Email podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie with all your contact details. Maureen will be on it and we'll get that mug sent out to you as fast as possible. Weekly roundup, John Boy.
We're back doing a bit of press.
Oh, we're back on the press mobile, lad.
For the book. This morning we were on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah.
With
Oliver Callan.
Oliver Callan. Do you know what I mean? I like Oliver Callan. I've been listening to him all week because I knew we were going to be on. I might be listening anyway. But he's from Monaghan, the same county as Marty Moan.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, folks. Marty Moan here. Just letting you know about me new Marty Moan skiing helmet. In case you're going down the slopes. Right, Marty Moan. I love Marty Moan, the country rock singer. How is he from the same county as Oliver Callan? I'd love to have known Oliver when he was like 15, Because I can understand if you, yeah, if you go to work on RT, you have to tell your voice a bit.
If you want.
Go on, Mara.
See, Oliver, right, so Marty is from Castle Blaney and Oliver is just from just outside Carrick Macross. So there might be only like 15 kilometres in the difference, but there is some difference in the accent. Castle Blaney lads are closer to Armagh and they like sound so northern and raw. It's weird. My friends have talked about this before. It's like, you could never imagine yourself dating a lad from Castle Blaney because, you know, he'd need some type
So is it the closer you are, you know, to the motorway, the handier your accent?
I think so, yeah. Actually, do you know what is a good listen? Oliver Callan doing a skit called Monaghan Lingophone. He's just, it's translating all these phrases like, I'm so hungry I'd lick the arse off a low-flying duck.
Yeah. Yeah, we were, I love that, Marty Monskeen.
Well, thanks to Oliver and RT for having us on.
Yeah, it was good crack. We'll be, you'll see us around next week. We'll be on the, we're selling ourselves. We'll be selling ourselves.
We're everywhere.
And our book.
Yeah, open your eyes, you'll see us.
We will. The book charted. Sorry, yeah. That's the big news we had this week. The book charted in our category of like hardback fiction. We were number two and we are.
Non-fiction.
Non-fiction, sorry. So we don't tell the truth.
Number two, we came second behind a book for charity.
Yeah, and
so
we're third overall.
We're only the second best book
in Ireland.
In Ireland, yeah, father.
Actually, we're the third best overall book this week. So I'd have taken top three, to be honest.
Yeah, look, yeah. We still qualify for the Champions League.
Yeah, we can still go number one if anybody feels like buying it. And thanks a million to everyone who's bought it so far. That's kind of what we've been at this week, really, haven't we? I don't think it's been anything else exciting.
Flat out.
Yeah, doing a bit of hoovering and, you know.
Yeah, look, you know all about the American election. You don't want to hear us.
Do you know what? Don't even get me started on that. That'll come later in the podcast. I have a bit on that. And thanks to everyone who signed up to our extra podcast. It's out every Thursday. Double your dose of Johnny. Lots of extra crack and mayhem. And on this week's extra podcast, number 33, we spoke to local pet farm operator, Martin Maloney, who told us about his time racing in donkey derbies.
I had a right good donkey. He was kind of one and a half.
What?
One and a half, we used to call him. And the reason why we call him one and a half, the half was the donkey, and the other half was hanging, the other one was hanging out.
Okay. Okay.
But he was a pure lunatic. Was he? Yeah, we used to get, we used to set up, we definitely had the what you call out in the shows out in Pamuka. We used to set up, he'd only run straight, he'd no mouth. If you know it, anyone know about it, an animal, a horse or a donkey, had no mouth, you couldn't steer him. Okay. So the only thing, he'd run straight. And the worst thing then was him. He was your writing. We knew he'd run races, but we had to kind of measure what we were doing. So we couldn't sit up and him taking off first because he's too fresh, he'd buck you off.
Right.
So we had to build up bales behind him, and I had to stand back maybe 20 yards and make a run when the man had put the flag up. And my nickname is Ballsy, right?
Ballsy?
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you how that happened. I used to stand back from this and run. And be ready when the flag goes down, jump. And of course, my legs went completely wide and my pants tore.
Gee.
But I had to stay in the ass above the top of the field and get someone to come up for me in the car. See, I had no underwear. I was sparing them for the weekends.
You won't get that on Radio 1. Now, this week is Science Week, so we've decided to delve into the science of our lives and the science that's around us a bit more. Now, perhaps more than ever, we are looking to science to tell us what's going to happen in the future. Are robots going to take our jobs? Can artificial intelligence learn to be creative? Basically, will computers become our overlords? Joining us to talk about this is Professor Alan Smeaton, Professor of Computing with DCU and self-confessed nerd.
Okay, well, Alan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You're very welcome. How are you?
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here. All feeling good. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Okay, look, we're going to start off nice and easy, right? Look, are robots going to take over the world, okay?
Start with an easy question. No, you've been watching too much Star Trek. No, they're not going to take over the world, but they are going to make some jobs and some tasks easier. And they've already been doing this, but it's just been happening under our noses and we don't really see it happening because it's under our noses. It's going to make some mundane tasks and repetitive tasks much easier. And over time, what we're seeing is that the robots of the automation are getting more and more clever. So the tasks that they can replace are getting more and more sophisticated. that's slowly happening. It's a slow kind of creep of technology into everyday life. That's the way technology works.
This one's going to seem a bit left field, but I used to work in a bacon factory, Alan, and you know, I used to work in the boning hall, and people said any old fool could do that job. Now, I don't see any robots doing it, but in time, is something that is quite intricate. Obviously, you've got to use a knife and stuff. Do you think robots will be capable of something like that?
I think they could be capable because it is. I've never been to a boning factory now. Okay?
You're very lucky.
And hopefully, I might avoid it for the rest. But
yeah,
imagine it's a very intricate skill with the hands. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are some skills with the hands, like brain surgeons and other kinds of surgeons. And I could see, and I already know of cases where we do have assistance in that kind of delicate surgery. But the difference between working in a boning factory and delicate surgery is to do with money. Right?
Yes.
As the surgeon is getting paid an awful lot more than what you were getting in the boning factory.
100%, so, yeah.
AI and taking over jobs will happen when it kind of and when it makes financial sense to do so. And in a boning factory,
Where do you think is the next big sector then that's going to be automated?
It's not so much which is the next sector which is going to be automated, but it's happening right across the board. And some sectors are much more automated than others. So the farm, for example, is probably way back, hasn't been as automated as other areas like the office and schools and education, which have an awful lot more technology and artificial intelligence built into them. So we have an unlevel playing field in terms of the use of AI and technologies like this. Some are far ahead and some are way behind.
Can we ask you about farming? Because we do have a lot of farmers who listen, and there have been a lot of progress made, but it's probably not as rolled out as it would be in other industries. Like a lot of milking parlours have been automated, cattle feeds and cleaning of cattle sheds and all that has been automated. And I see now like cows indoors wearing in their ear almost the bovine equivalent of a Fitbit.
So
this is something that I know you know a little bit about. And is AI going to become huge in farming?
I think it has great potential to, because it's so far behind.
Okay. The farmers won't like that now.
And being so far behind means that the gap that you can make, the jump that you can make, can be huge. So it's to your advantage in the farming sector and in the food production sector to be far behind, because it means that when you do catch up, you make a huge leap as opposed to a small little tiny amount of progress. And most of what we see in the use of technology in the food production and farming community is about optimizing the process. It's about optimizing the feed so the cattle get the best weight gain and all that sort of stuff. Optimizing the fertilizer so the grass gets the best yield so that the milk production be the best. So it's almost like treating it as a factory, right? But there's lots of other areas and lots of other topics where AI can be used in the farming community. And you mentioned the Fitbit. This is a piece of work that we've done because as I understand it now, and I'm no farmer, but as I understand it, the farming community is split down the middle as to what the effect of the disbudding process is. Now, I'm looking at you and saying disbudding. Do you know what that means? Yeah.
I'm going to give a solid no.
No.
So am I the only one in this room that who knows about what disbudding is? So when a calf is born, right, it has these buds in its head here, which grow into horns.
Okay? Yeah.
And for the safety of the farmer, right, and everybody else who has to manage the cattle, what happens is that sometime in their first couple of months, the vet comes along, or sometimes the farmer does it, and they remove it. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. They remove it with a hot iron. Okay. Now, you can imagine that kind of hurts, right?
Well, we would call that skulling calves around here.
Is it? Okay, so this is local dialect. So you know what? So it's that. And it happens, I don't know, it happens in the first month or 2 months. So they catch them when they're still buds and whatever. And there's a bit of local anaesthetic given. And from what I understand, half the farming community thinks, that's no bother to them at all. They're not affected by it at all. The other half thinks, oh, they are. It's terrible, traumatic. So what we've done is that we've put the effectively Fitbits around the collars of newborn calves for 2 or 3 months of their lives. And what we look at is we look at the patterns of their lives, right? The getting up, the feeding, the walk around, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And we see what the effect of the disbudding is over those couple of months period. And in this test that we've done, we've found that, whisper it, but it is traumatic to them, right? They are knocked out of kilter, but only for a few days. And then after about 3 or 4 days, they recover back to normal. So there's an example of the use of AI. Now, whether it's any practical use or not, it probably is, because it would affect when to do the disbudding and when not to do it. So there's an example of you know, a fairly large leap in progress from a very standing start, almost from no base. Like,
okay, well, farmers are definitely going to hear that and say, "Asher, the calf will be grand."
Okay, that's the part they'll take away at the end. Yeah. 4 or 5 days, it's grand. Okay.
Yeah. So we wanted to ask you about social media and data, I guess. These are the questions for a lot of young people nowadays. And we were looking at the famous case of the Cambridge Analytica and the role that social media played in the re-election of Barack Obama and then Donald Trump and Brexit. These are the big ones of our generation. I guess we should nearly let you explain it, that social media are gathering your data and making predictions of your personality, and then...
Yeah. So each of us have a personality type, and there's about 4 or 5 or 6 different ways. We're extrovert or we're introvert. We're concerned or we're not concerned. There's half a dozen different ways in which personalities can be described. And what some researchers did was that just by looking at your social media posts and the things that you like and the things that you read, you're able to get an insight into somebody's personality. Great. Now, that's very useful. OK, you can kind of do that in the real world as well, because you look at somebody, you see somebody in the office and you know that, oh, she's a very extroverted person, or she's very conscientious, or he's very considerate, that sort of thing. So it's no great shakes to see that happened. And what Cambridge Analytica did was that they applied that to a set of about 70 or 80,000 users on social media, got their personality, and that's all fine. But then what they did was that they applied that algorithm to millions of other people. Wow. So now suddenly we have the personality type of millions of other people. That was the first step. The second step that they did was that they tailored advertisements on Facebook, particularly on Facebook, to tune to the personality. Now, if you want to take out an ad on television or on radio or on a billboard, you know, it's one ad and it's the same ad that's delivered to everybody. Yeah. If you do it on Facebook, you can get a personal, individual advertisement, which is different from one Johnny to the other Johnny, because you've got different personalities. Hmm. And when you're looking at an ad on Facebook, you're looking at it on your phone and nobody else is seeing that. So this went completely under the radar, both for Brexit and for the first election of Donald Trump.
But could I say to you, so far, that sounds kind of harmless. It's almost just cookies that I'm being shown ads relevant to me.
Yeah, it is, except the types of the ads were misleading and were disparaging and, you know, negative ads about other candidates. Okay. And we only saw some of these ads afterwards, when the UK Parliament committee forced Facebook to reveal some of these ads, and they were shocking, right? They were shocking untruths. Now, we've kind of become a little bit normalized to that with the kind of things that the present president of the United States is going on about. So we've become normalized to mistruths and alternative truths, that kind of thing. But way back in 2016. Right. The impact of this was that people were getting this. They were seeing it on their Facebook, and therefore it must be true. Right.
Yeah.
And we had a phenomenon called the shy voter, which is that people would say, no, I'm not voting for Donald Trump. But then you get these ads, and when they go into the booth, they press the Donald Trump vote. And that's how Brexit happened. And that's how Trump got elected first time round.
But shouldn't us as humans have a higher, you know, understanding, a higher bullshit meter, and be able to decipher this for ourselves?
Yeah, well, you look at the Trump rallies, right? They are, at the time of recording, they are identifying 100,000 new cases of COVID a day, but they're still going to rallies and they're still not wearing masks. and they're still close to each other and they're confined. Yeah, they're outdoors, but they're in aircraft hangars. But still, people will do that. So the bullshit meter for for people, we tend to see what we want to see. But when we don't really want to recognize it as bullshit, then we just sort of hide it. We mask it. And that's the phenomenon that they exploited.
But who is doing this exactly? Like, this ability to predict who's watching has almost been kind of credited with getting the Brexit vote through.
Yeah.
Like, who's doing it and who's paying for the ads? And you know, somebody has kind of weaponized this technology, really.
And you hear in the media about, you know, so many hundreds of millions of dollars raised for the Biden campaign or for the Trump campaign or for the Brexit campaign. They're all paying Facebook and Twitter. So the big winners out of this in terms of business are the social media companies who have taken in billions of dollars in advertisement placements. And it's probably happening right now under our noses. The amount of money associated with those US presidential campaigns on both sides is eye-watering. And where are they spending it? Well, they're not spending it on Make America Great, caps or masks or buses to spend it all on social media. It's all happening, right? But it happens under our noses, and therefore we don't see it. I don't see it. You don't see it. We don't see it. But everybody in the US and in their constituency will see it popping up on their Facebook feeds.
And is there any way, do you think, that this will be regulated like that, we can make this great AI technology safer and stop it from being hijacked?
I hope we've learned a lesson from 2016 in that there is much tighter regulation and some things have been introduced. But those social media companies are giants in terms of their impact. They're bigger than motor companies. They're bigger than any other companies. And therefore, it's very hard to catch up with regulation for companies which are that size. You could almost say like the genie's out of the box. That's not to be, you know, all terribly negative. But you see things like the European Union trying to claw back regulation. And it's constantly being fought against because, you know, it's seen as a platform for human rights and open speech, which it is. But it just gets abused.
Do you think, you know, the likes of the Alexas and the Googles that most households around Ireland and the world have? I mean, yeah. I know I've got two in my house, and after hearing you talk there, I'm thinking about going home and destroying them with a sledgehammer. Yeah. But do you believe, obviously, there is a certain degree, but how does it work that they are listening to us, and then they're obviously, you know, if I talk about holidays, and then miraculously I go on my phone, and there it is, you know, a sun holiday.
Yeah.
They're obviously listening to us.
They're supposed to be not listening to us when they're not called upon, but like, I think everyone listening to this podcast kind of believes that they are listening to us.
Yeah, it's very easy, sorry Johnny, to fall into the trap of believing that they're listening to you and then they're picking up keywords and targeting your ads. I do not believe that is true. I think that it's just statistical circumstance that causes you to talk about holidays in the office and then go home and on the phone, you know, you see the ad for travel and for things. I think it's just pure coincidental. I don't think there's enough statistical base for it to be true that they are, that the Alexa, I'm just looking at one here, right? Yeah. Actually listening to me.
Oh man, I don't know. I feel like I've heard so many anecdotal stories, and even myself, we were talking about a brand of clothing here one day and went on Facebook that night. And the ad just rolled right into my timeline for that exact brand. You're telling me that's just a coincidence?
I'm telling you I believe that is just a coincidence because of the sheer number of other ads and the sheer number of things that you would be talking about, right?
Does Facebook have me that well profiled?
Oh, yeah. Facebook has an insight into you which is far deeper and knows more about you than Johnny does, okay? Wow.
He knows a lot about me.
knows more about you. And I remember reading in the background to the Cambridge Analytica stuff that if you like more than 250 things in your entire history of Facebook, then Facebook knows more about you than any partner or spouse could know about you. That's phenomenal, it. That's just from your watching Facebook, what the things that you're reading and the things that you're liking and the things that you're sharing, right? You betray, if that's a word, you give away huge insights into your personality when you're online and you're interacting much more than you would with any partner or anybody you'd share an environment with.
Wow. Man, it's scary.
It is, yeah. Yeah. It's something like 120 likes is enough for Facebook to know more than your parents would know you. And, you know, your parents know, but you know, they'll always know you. They'll always know you. You can't go back home and say, tell a fib because your mother looks straight through you. So, but that's just with like 100 and something. And when it gets up to 200 and something, at least 250, then no person could know more about you. Now, that's really scary. Facebook knows more about you than anybody else could know about you.
Are we safe to take the piece of tape that we have on our webcam off? That's basically what we want to know.
Yeah, that's you've got the bit of tape on the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have complete faith that that's not being ghosted by somebody.
Thank God.
Used by somebody to you know learn about what I might be doing.
Alan, who are you working for? but I do worry that with so much AI and such a great profile of me, every time I talk, hey Google or Alexa, that like somebody could steal my identity. Yeah. That because if I want to type into Google video of Donald Trump rapping about China, somebody will have made that and edited it together from quite a basic software. So imagine what somebody could do. Like we saw the video, but like deep fakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So would you explain to people what a deep fake is for somebody who doesn't know?
I'll explain to you about deep fake, but on the last point, your conspiracy theory nervousness, right, is a natural reaction to somebody, in this case, it's the internet or Google or Facebook, getting uncomfortably close to knowing about you. We like to have distances between ourselves and everybody else, okay, even our partners and our spouses. We like to have a little bit of ourselves. And to have some entity, something that we don't even know, get so close to us, it's a natural reaction for us to say a conspiracy theory. Okay. So it's a phenomenon that is well explained by the psychology of the human being, that it's a natural reaction. Deepfakes are a fabulous technology. For creating video, right? Not in real time, but recorded video, where the face of somebody is replaced by the face of a somebody else, okay? And it is stitched together in such a way that it's almost seamless, indistinguishable from the original. So you could take my face and you could take either of your faces, train a machine learning algorithm and put your face based on top of mine. It's like there was a movie with John Travolta and somebody else in it called Face Off.
Nicolas Cage. Yeah.
Was it Nick Cage, was it? Yeah. And they basically surgically removed fake. Well, this is doing it digitally, right? And the thing about the deepfakes area is that it's easy to do. I have had undergraduate student projects do deepfakes, create deepfakes. It's that easy. Okay. All that you need is a video recording of the target, in this case me, this kind of thing, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of faces of the person you want to superimpose on me. Now, if you want to get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of faces, who do you go to? You go to celebrities, right? You go to the internet and you go to actors and actresses. So one of the when the idea of deepfakes first came out, one of the target people that they took to superimpose on somebody else was Nicolas Cage. Why? Because there's thousands of pictures of Nick Cage.
He's in everything.
He is in everything. He became, and this one is only for some of your listeners, he became the Rick Astley of deepfakes because the algorithms, the code, the program to produce the deepfakes was made public and made released. Oh, and by the way, here's a model of Nick Cage. So you could take Nick Cage and you put Nick Cage on anybody and everybody. Because it's so easy to do, because literally all you need is a powerful computer and about 24 hours compute processing time to generate a 10-second deepfake because it's really, really computationally expensive to do it, then that it became just sort of wild spread, right, throughout the internet. And that's now really easy to do. And the challenge now is not to generate deepfakes, but to detect them automatically.
We watched a video where somebody, that actor Peele, did a great one on Donald Trump, or no, on Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And we watched it, and for the first 5 or 6 seconds, we're like, that's Barack Obama.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he says, this is a deep fake, and he starts insulting Donald Trump. So the issue is, somebody could do a really accurate deep fake, and you're scrolling through your Facebook feed, and you're saying, oh my God, that's that person doing a horrible thing. I'm never going to vote for them again.
Yeah.
And even if a high enough percentage of people can tell that it's bullshit, it could be enough just to change behaviours by a couple of percent. That could be enough to change an election.
Yeah.
Or something big like that.
And in 2016, deepfakes weren't around. But in 2020, deepfakes are around. And they're easy to do.
So if a video appears of us fighting on Camden Street at 3 a.m.
It'll be a deepfake.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Your Honour.
I'm just wondering, is the technology there to clone our voice? I mean, we know they can clone our video. So, like, if you know of anyone, Alan, who can do that, do let us know, because we're fairly busy at the moment. And another couple of Johnnies on the road would be dead handy.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
You could just replace the other fellow with a clone of yourself.
Yeah, take all the money.
Two Johnnies Maxes. Can we ask you one more topic about that we're very interested in? You did some work on the science of measuring sleep.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This has absolutely blown our minds that in the 1960s, the average American got 8.5 hours sleep per night. And now it's down to under 7. Are we not more evolved? What's happening? Like, why aren't we getting more sleep?
Yeah, well, and going back even further, you know, where before Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, we were getting even more sleep, right? And over a very short, just a few generations, we have gone from having 10, 11, 12 hours of sleep to having whatever. Do either of you measure your sleep with a Fitbit or a watch or anything like that?
I used to. I think my average was like 7 hours 15 or something.
Okay, I've been doing mine for a few years. I now use a Ring, right?
Okay.
A Ring, not this one. A Ring, and it measures movement and temperature. And my average sleep is around about 6 hours and 28 minutes, about average.
Okay.
So that's just me, but that's enough for me. And my body and my physiology and my everything has become used to that as my normal. You require 7.15, 7.25 hours, and you know, Johnny, you may require even more or even that. We're different from each other.
Yeah.
So what has happened is that we have become accustomed and acclimatized to having less sleep. Now, we haven't evolved. Genetically, we haven't evolved in 150 years to do this. We've just become accustomed to it. Are there any long-term benefits or threats from it? Do we get older? Do we end up sleeping more to catch up for all the sleep we missed when we were kids and younger? Probably not, right? Sleep is necessary not for the body, the muscles to recover. Sleep is necessary for the mind to recover. It's necessary for us to dream so that we can process the previous day's happenings and store them in our longer term memory.
Yes.
That's the main purpose of sleep. You can get by on 40 winks. You know, your body may be tired, but you'll get over it. And you'll get over body tiredness and physical tiredness and growth. You get over those kind of things. But the real need for sleep is for the mental relaxation, not to switch off the mind, because the mind is just as busy when we're asleep as it is during the day. It's thinking, it's processing all of the images and all of the experiences we have. And we see those as dreams, you know?
Yeah.
When you have a dream at night, it tends to be related to some of the things that happened during the previous day.
Look, man, we want to thank you so much for coming on. And if there's anything you'd like to say to people who are considering studying computer science or considering a career in it, what would you say to them?
I'd say prepare for the most eventful journey in life, because to be with technology as it's developing, right, is hugely exciting. To be part of technology and to use it as developing is fine, but to be with it and helping and contributing as it's developing is one of the most exciting things you can do in the world.
Well, we need good people to keep an eye on it, or it's going to get fucking out of hand. Do you hear me?
If you want to find out more about Science Week, about all of the free virtual events, or to make sure you get a say in choosing our future and what you want science to do, visit www.scienceweek.ie. In his heyday, he was so good at hurling, he once scored 2 goals with 1 shot. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
Well, Noel.
This music could start.
Yes.
I was thinking, why didn't you ask the local lads to give you a hand?
Who?
Cypress Hill.
Cypress Hill?
They're local.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they're from the far side of Enniscutter there. It's a bit of a shithole, but... Noor Darcy had a row of cypress trees up the front, and that's where they got the name. And they're all very proud to be local.
I've never heard him talk about.
You don't be listening. Do you know they had that song, Insane in the Brain?
Yeah.
Don't mess with me, I say. Don't you know I'm local?
Don't you know?
He's after writing an essay, and someone's probably trying to cog off him for school.
Cog.
Fella has to do his own essay.
Yeah, yeah.
Insane the brain, because I'm local. Listen to it now.
I've been getting around all these years.
Insane in the mam's brain, because I'm local. No. They did another tune called Hits from the Bong. Okay. That was originally called Hits by the Fong.
Okay.
For Paddy Fong, who was flaking hard on his day.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you can look at a man and think, you know, he looks like a routine dude, you know. Unaware, when he was young, he chopped lads up on the hurling field. You know?
A routine dude.
He was a regular guy. Paddy Fong. Fong might seem harmless now.
Yeah.
But he is like Bisto. The more you stir him, the thicker he gets.
Very good.
They had that song, Here Is Something You Can't Understand, How I Could Just Kill a Man. Did you ever hear that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about junior football. They played in Shamrock one night.
Did they?
Yeah, Margaret would normally book the Cotters, but they'd be singing The Gambler, Lay Down Sally. Yeah. But they were playing the funeral in Kildare. So Cypress Hill filled in for him. A lot of cursing.
What, sir?
I pulled him afterwards. I said, lads, there's no need for it. I said, like, you're well able to sing. Would you not do a few ballads? And you'd be set, you know. They went up to America on a J1 and sure. You know what I mean? But I did do a song if you asked.
Okay, we might touch
base. Because they're local.
Because they're local. We touch base, so it's like Brazil.
Yeah. Had you a good Halloween?
Yeah, quiet, obviously, yeah. With lockdown.
Bit of crack.
Yeah, sure. Try to have our own crack now.
Bob the Apple.
I didn't do Bob the Apple this year, no.
He's only a prick anyway. Do you know Bob the Apple?
No, what?
Bob the Apple. Out the road. And his brother, Joe the Spud. Joe the Spud, different man altogether.
Is he?
Yeah. Joe the Spud is a gent.
Listening.
You could bet your life on Joe the Spud. I won't have a bad word said about Joe the Spud.
Okay.
Bob the Apple. Prick. Right. News. Let's get down to it. They are at it again. Not the FAI. No. They're Russians. Although the soccer could do it up in their game. They don't score enough.
No, that's true.
Look at the rugby.
Yeah.
They could score 30 times in a game.
I don't think that's how it works.
No, right. Okay. But the free taking. Oh, Lord. Every time Johnny Sexton kicks a ball out of the hand, out over the fucking sideline. And then when he kicks him off the ground over the bar.
Yeah.
Simple stuff, like. Simple stuff. Ronnie Whelan. He could score. He'd do a job for you.
Yeah.
You're telling me you were playing fullback for Serbia or someone. You're not going to be a little freaked out. See Ronnie Whelan coming in again, you. You know what I mean? And who did he score the famous goal again?
The Soviets.
Yeah. But it was before they changed their name to Russia.
Yeah. Oh, yes. 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 Sorry.
You know, like when Dalton took over the coach bar. New name, same chance of getting stabbed. Right? As you always say, the coach bar, come for the pints, stay for the fights. But the Russians have invaded Donegal.
What?
With a time capsule.
Oh.
Did you hear this?
I actually did.
Two locals were walking the beach in Gwydor and they found a metal canister. There was Russian writing on it.
Okay.
Up to no good again. Turned out to be a time capsule from a Russian ship up in the Arctic, right? 'Twas buried in dice, and they were hoping it would remain untouched for hundreds of years. But the ice melted and it washed up in Donegal, which is also the name of the new album from Daniel O'Donnell.
Washed up in Donegal.
Just another clue that many people, a lot of people believe Daniel O'Donnell is actually a merman, right? No, don't laugh. Don't laugh at this. Where did he come from? You don't know. Have you ever seen a picture of him as a child?
No.
No. Or did he just appear an entertainer that you couldn't quite put an age on? Yeah?
Okay.
His songs, The Shores of Donegal, Galway Bay, The Rivers of Babylon. The pieces add up, John Bai. The pieces add up. Open your eyes.
You've had some conspiracy theories in your time, Noah.
I'm just telling you what people are saying. Will he use his powers for good or evil? We can only reach out to him now. So the merman of the North Sea, email us here at the podcast. Let us know. But the Russian time capsule, right? Do you know what was in it?
Well,
photos of the ship's crew, the ship's food menu, beer mats, and the cork off a bottle of wine. Just to let you know, they had a good time, but you're not invited. So it turns out the time capsule was only 2 years old.
Ah,
I should, what use is that? I've held shit longer than that.
Jesus.
Maureen, I will refuse to use the toilets down the dressing rooms. Disgusting.
For 2 years.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
Wicked self-control.
No. Man, discipline. Which brings me to my local news. We have decided to bury our own time capsule in the GAA Club.
Of course.
It will contain all important items. The slitter I used the first time I ever left it off. The football I used to win the county final. I fisted the ball out of the air. It was fair high. I was 12 feet off the ground anyway.
Oh my God.
And I fisted the ball 40 yards. The wrong direction. But it hit the referee in the nose, in the snout. And while he wasn't looking, Fong kicked our centre back in the kidneys. Now he had to get dialysis, but we got straight through the middle. Straight through the middle. Bang. Wide. But the wire scored 5 or 6 pints on the trot, and we got the cup.
Ah, that's brilliant.
All down to my fist.
That's brilliant.
A lot of people said I shouldn't have been on that team. People said I was too old. Passed it. Has been. Now, okay, I didn't score that year. I didn't do a lot of running. But I was solid. I was solid around the middle. Uh-huh. Kept it tight. There used to be a circle in the middle of the field where the ref would throw in the ball. I stayed in that circle. Any fella came into it, he got a wallop. I didn't care what team he was on. Now, I didn't make many passes, but I did a lot of work.
Yeah.
I did a lot of other work. In people don't often see it. I mean, do you know how difficult it is to play in midfield and also be the manager picking a team?
That's hard.
This time capsule would also include the laces of Fong's left boot. He wouldn't give the right one. He's still using it. Leamy Shakes were putting in his walking stick. Now, he didn't want to give it. He was ticking off over it. He was roaring a ball down the ground. Give me back my walking stick. I said, Liam, it's for the club. It's for the club. Mickey Fagg's cap has gone in. A club jersey I robbed off Dwyer's washing line. There's a half bag of lime, in case they want to line the field. There is a helmet belonged to Tapper Henry. Now, he said he needs it for the motorbike, but the club comes first. John Paul's jersey from the primary game.
That's gone in.
That's going in. Yeah. Well, he can't pull women with that anymore. He's aged out of that a while ago.
That's true.
Tell you, his mother, Cameron, was so proud of him for making the panel. She was going on, I'm so proud of you making the county panel. I was like, he's only a sub. Why aren't you proud of me? I'm the manager. It was myself and Joe the Spud.
Oh my God.
And I won't have a bad word said about Joe the Spud. What else is going in the time capsule? The butt of a fag smoked by the Chief Flannery while he was impregnating Pauline with Jimmy Spice. And as you know, as the whole club knows, Spicy Flannery is one of the tidiest forwards to ever boot a ball. Okay?
Okay.
Also, in the time capsule, the wing mirrors I kicked off referee Noonan's Passat. He will never know it was me. I kicked in your windows. 'Twas Patsy shat in your boot. But it was never a yellow card. That's the league.
Oh,
the league
God.
Brings out the worst in people. So we are going to bury the time capsule. I don't know where.
Yeah, well,
they refuse to tell me.
Ah, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, I'm ear to the ground, right?
You dig back up.
I might. Alter history.
Oh, we'll see you next week.
Yes, God willing. Over and out.
She likes her men how she likes her coffee, hot and strong enough to keep her up all night.
Hey!
Maura, what is your mystery topic this week?
Lads, it's a question. How far would you go to win back an ex? And have you ever stopped a friend from doing really embarrassing stuff to get back with an ex? So this is inspired. Actually, somebody messaged me on Instagram about this, and then I went down a rabbit hole of YouTube videos. Have you ever seen Made in Chelsea?
No, you probably have.
Yeah, I've watched clips of it. Yeah, I've never actually watched a full episode.
I go away on that.
No, I haven't, but I know the crack.
Okay, so there's two people on it, Zara McDermott and Sam Thompson.
And she's on Love Island.
Yes, yes. Now, this one, Zara, I was watching clips of them when they were kind of like supposedly happily together, and all she did is go on at him about his exes. She's like, oh, I've seen you, you know, I can go back and see all your previous relationships on social media and all your previous relationships that you've been with while Made in Chelsea. That makes me feel blah, blah, blah. Then she'd be going on about going mad at him for going off with his ex. He took an Uber ride with her one day and she went mental at that. And he's just like, all we did was like share a taxi. But anyway, it turned out that she did the dirt in him when she was doing Celebrity X Factor. And then obviously he broke up with her. And like, oh, it was brilliant. This clip, it's actually been kind of parried a good bit on TikTok. She just like has a breakdown sitting on a garden bench. And like, she's like, I don't even do it. But she's like proper ugly crying. And she's like, I'm so sorry. And she said, and he's like, we can't fix this. It's like, but you can, we can. And she's just like bellowing at him. So,
oh my God.
And now she's done stuff like, oh, she shared this. Hold on a second, I'll see if I can find this text. She shared a throwback snap of them on Instagram, and she put on this text, and it's like, I know you've been always the one, blah, blah, blah. It's a bit much. I don't know if I go that far in trying to win back an ex. I just kind of think that if you love them enough, you have to let them go and see if they come back to you. But I'd be interested to know what your thoughts. If it was my friend, I'd pull her aside and say, look, you're looking desperate and sad here. If you really want to go back, get back with him, you know, just behave yourself and, you know, show him that you can be a bit more mature than you've previously been acting like.
Maura, I don't know if being mature is top of the list for being on Made in Chelsea. just to clarify there. So she cheated on him and they broke up. And then during the week, she posted a photo on Instagram of the two of them when they were together.
Mm.
Yes.
It's a bit weird.
Yeah, it's she's very been like, weird.
She's been like putting out statements and stuff saying she loves him. And she's been putting all like videos on her social media, her being like, I'm really sorry and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but sure, she only has to text him, like, she doesn't have to publicize to the world.
Yeah, that is true.
Now,
although she's
this
in the
is
game
a
game
reality now. Program, so it might sorry, be yeah. a producer yeah. in her ear going like, Bella, love, you might do this, but Yeah, so what she said on her Instagram post over the weekend was, I choose you and I'll choose you over and over without pause, without a doubt, in a heartbeat, I'll keep choosing you.
Oh, is she Ralph Wiggum or something? What?
I choose you.
Fuck's sake. He wanted to delete her number, that fella.
Oh, man.
I'm going to be blocking her. Yeah. Two hands down over the ball, lad. Absolutely blocking her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit much. Now, obviously, she messed up in the first place. That's why she's trying to put it, like, you know, make right her wrongs.
See, they live in such a weird universe, like, that the normal rules almost don't apply to them. And they're like, she's doing things now that if a normal person done it, you'd be like, right, lads, ring the ambulance for that one. Like, she's gone absolutely bananarama. But as we've just said, she's done something mental. And we're all like, sure, she's probably doing it for, like, a bit of content or... Yeah. So the same...
We don't trust anything in reality television.
So it's hard to compare yourselves to them lunatics.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, going off with someone else, like, you know, I don't think she's done that for reality television.
But did she go off with your man on telly? Off camera, was it?
No, off camera. Okay. Off camera. Yeah, off camera. Just on your question, Maura, how far would we go to win back an ex? Probably not very far. But, like, I do understand if you're the reason... that it went south, that you would try and make amends. I can understand that, but crying on Instagram and on national television, I don't think that's the way to go. I think a private chat and maybe, you know, having a good chat about it is about as far as it goes. Like, I don't think any of my friends have ever done that mad. Like, they've never went full Breakfast Club and turned up outside someone's door playing a ghetto blaster. You know, I've probably thought about it when you were 14 or 15, yeah. All right.
Writing her name in lighter fluid on the lawn.
Like that in betweeners one where he writes, like, you know, Simon loves Carly in her driveway. Like.
Oh, no. You know, if you're her mate and she's putting up a video saying, like, oh, I really miss him, whatever, you've got to be ringing her straight away saying, whip that down there, will you?
Oh, yeah.
I'll call around, we'll put on the kettle and eat an old twirl or something, you know?
Twirl.
Well, I don't know.
You've definitely done that lighter fluid thing because that's a random thing to pick out.
No, I haven't.
Have you ever done that like that? You've definitely written a love song now or so.
No, never.
Never?
No. Once they're gone, lad. That's like your virginity.
Yeah, but like I think you're too busy to even notice that you're gone. Where's your one gone?
Didn't there used to be somebody?
Yeah, hold on a second now.
No. Yeah. Not anymore. But it is tough for them to, like, she can go on his Instagram and see all his exes. I don't know. I assume he's had a couple by the sound of it. So isn't that weird to be? She's like, oh, I remember season one where you were going out with Mary.
Yeah.
Then in season three, it was great when you were going out with Siobhan.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think there's any characters in Made in Chelsea called Mary and Siobhan.
Well, I'm just giving it a wide berth.
It's not Ross in the room.
Yeah. I think her issue was that there's this other character called Tiff who Sam was going out previously with, and they're still very good friends, and she was completely so jealous about that. I just kind of think that, like, you know, if you're secure in your relationship, you wouldn't be worried about it. But you're obviously, but then she was obviously doing the dirt, so that's probably why she was a bit like,
double insecurity.
Yeah, yeah. But
just ringing you at 4 a.m. to let you know I'm so happy you're friends with your ex. I just saw you guys are on Instagram together. Just letting you know, I think that's so cool. You're so progressive.
Maura.
Love you.
Maura, can we flip it on you for a second? Have you ever done anything tragic to try and win back an ex or any of your friends?
Well, there's one guy that I broke up with that I kind of thought that, like, the relation, he just wasn't treating me properly, but I knew that he liked me. So I was just like, I'll break up with him now and make him realize how much he misses me, and then he'll get back with me. So I broke up with him, and then we kind of stayed texting, and he asked me, he was going off to buy furniture or something. He asked me to come with him. And we went off for just for the spin, chatting away.
Wait, was he buying furniture in Paris?
No, he's buying it in Wicklow. He's buying a second.
No, Castle Blaney. Hi, I'm all just wondering there if you want to come and buy a new couch.
My new chaise long.
But,
recliner?
It was like pretty much about like 40 minutes into the journey. I was like, this lad is not one for changing one bit. And we still had like go pick up the bed and then like another hour journey back in the car. So then I was kind of like, do you know what? I'm kind of now, if you break up with someone, that's it. If the relationship goes south, is they're just not meant for each other. And if you go, you know, I don't know. I just think that she should. It's great TV though. If you need a break from like lockdown, just watch this girl, this very attractive girl, ugly cry. I have to say it was pure Schadenfreude for me. So, sorry, I'm a bad person.
Maura, do you want to come bed shopping with me? Might get some memory foam. You always check the talk value. I do think if you ever, do you ever see couples who are like always breaking up and getting back together?
Yeah.
Oh, lad, could you be dealing with that?
Oh, there comes a time where you just have to pull both of them and be like, listen, it ain't working.
Yeah, I don't think couples, some couples are like that. That's the way they communicate. They're always like,
that's their fire.
Yeah, but I couldn't be arguing with someone.
No, you couldn't be dealing with Rowan, lad. Nah. Gee, oh, no, no, no. That's a whole other mystery topic. But no, I don't think any of our friends have ever gone to, when I was a young lad, like in school now and stuff like that, I'd be a fair man to write a letter.
Go on.
You know, I'd write, I hope none of them resurface. You know, when you're like 12, 13 and the young one's like, oh, I don't really want to meet you anymore. And then you're like, oh my God, you write her a love letter telling her like, but at that age, you think it's going to be forever anyway. And then you're in the bedroom listening to love songs.
Jesus, I did come home actually one night and one of the boys was writing a love letter, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, tell.
We were well into our 20s there now.
We're 23 or 4 anyway, yeah.
And I came home and he's like, just after writing her this love letter, lad, what do you think? And I was like, fucking, you know what I mean?
You only met her once.
It's like, it's kind of hard to critique. Do you mean like in terms of creative writing or like the sentiment? I was like, you know, those.
On a scale of 1 to I'm going to murder her.
I was like, do you know what, lad? I probably wouldn't give it to her.
Oh, God.
He emigrated anyway. But I did
to Castle Blaney.
I definitely had a case where I remember meeting a girl I hadn't seen in ages, and then I was like, "Oh, what's the crack? Are you still going out with your man there?" And she's like, "No, well, we actually broke up." And I was like, "Do you know what? Best thing you ever did. He was with fairies. That I'd never liked him." And she's like, "But we got back together."
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, look, it's been great seeing you. Where do you go from there? No, if lads are doing something mental to get back with their ex, Mara, they don't tell other lads.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all like, yeah, you're better off with her. Do you know what I mean, man? And he's like, yeah.
To be honest, then
a month later, he walks into the pub with her.
Yeah, that's happened loads of times. I would definitely say that. But I think, Mara, this is definitely one for listeners of the podcast. I'm sure there's some class correspondence going to come from this one. So people, listeners, let us know if your friends have done that in tragic, you know, you can name them, shame them here.
Trying to win them back.
Or we'll just change their names, whichever way you want it.
Real names, come
real
on.
Real names, yeah. Let's name
or if shame. Anybody, if anybody wants to make a genuine appeal on the podcast for their ex to come back to them.
Yes, we will do matchmaker here to Johnny's podcast. That's a brilliant idea, Mara.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, email Mara, though.
We couldn't be listening to it.
We can't determine if it's real love or not.
No, email podcast at the Two Johnnies.
Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number 2. And you can get in touch on Instagram at the Two Johnnies and email podcast at the Two Johnnies. And check out the twojohnnies.ie for a load of other stuff and the book and all that kind of stuff. Finally, it's time for
Yurt and Dirt
of the Week. That's where we give our highlight and our lowlight of the week. John Bernard, what have you got?
Well, on last week, my word of the week was Schiach, and I got a lot of feedback about it. I had, there's a school in Louth that everyone nicknames the Bush.
Okay.
And it turns out it's called Skull Nish Giachog, or something like that. And then I had a lad, he's down there near Slieve na Mon, and he's in a townsland called Glen Schiach.
Okay. Right?
He's up near Slieve na Mon. And do you know what his parents named him? Schlieve.
Oh.
That's his actual name. Schlieve Wells. From Tip.
Cool name. Sounds like he's a writer.
Yeah, it's an unusual name, isn't it?
Schlieve Wells, yeah.
I've never... More, have you ever heard of a man called Schlieve?
No. Very interesting.
It's like Sleeve, but like said in a Sligo accent. Schlieve. Okay.
My word of the week this week, pattern. right? In Ardmore, you know, like we've the Fair Care or whatever.
The Pattern Festival.
The Pattern Festival.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard of a Pattern Festival.
We done a gig at that, day.
We did.
We did.
I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Until I was in Ardmore this summer. And I've looked it up, and it's a festival that has to be kind of in conjunction with like a Catholic Saints Day.
Why did they book us?
I don't know. But I just want to throw it out there. Is there any other big pattern festivals in Ireland? Because okay. I had never heard of this expression. I just thought you'd have a fair like or a festival or whatever.
Right. Someone get in touch though. Someone
thanks very much. I didn't want to go with another Gaelic word. No, I'm keeping you on your toes, lads.
Yeah, my yurt of the week is a recommendation. Not Netflix this time.
Good.
Got the old Amazon.
Hey.
It's at Tottenham's documentary. Unbelievable. So it follows Tottenham for the whole season there when Mourinho takes over.
What's it called?
All or Nothing. Yeah. And it's really good. It just, if you're into sport, it'll give you a good insight. And if you're into management or any bit of management, like it could be business, right? And you'll take something from it.
If you're into Amazon Prime.
Yeah, obviously you'll have to.
I probably don't know the summer on YouTube.
You'd be surprised where they've been knocking around.
You get that.
But it's brilliant. Loving that show now at the moment. That's replaced Line of Duty. Because Netflix took Line of Duty off.
Oh, it's back, I think.
Yeah. Is it back again?
Yeah, it came up my suggested.
The fifth season's added. Oh, are you serious? I paid $16.99 for that 2 weeks ago.
You're an impulsive man, John.
My dirt of the week is Line of Duty Series 5 has been added to Netflix, and I'm absolutely sick to my stomach having paid €16 for it. Anyway, Johnny.
I went to the farmer's market in Care, right? That's the kind of guy I am now.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You exciting man.
Was I telling you about the gluten-free sausages?
No.
There's a crowd there doing... They've all their own pork and whatnot, and they do gluten-free sausages. And I went down late, and I was like, well, what have you gotten? And he's like, no, they do all kinds of stuff. And he's like, all I have left are gluten-free sausages. And I was like, I didn't know there was gluten in sausages. I should throw me out a pack of them, we'll have a go. And he said, it's gas. He said, we do these festivals and fairs everywhere, and people go mad for the gluten-free sausages because they must be hard to get or whatever. And he said, in Care, as soon as I tell people the sausages are gluten-free, they all go, oh, fuck, I don't want them. So I don't know why the people of Care are too old school. They won't eat it if it's gluten free. But I got them and they were delicious. So I don't know whether that's a yurt or a dirt, but I thought it was gas anyway.
Yeah, that is good. Dirt of the week for me, my heating's gone. Heating just blew up. So we're having to light the fire all day. I feel like I'm a caveman. No, obviously, you know, I'm not good with lighting fire, so we've addressed that in the extra podcast.
Oh my God.
So we won't even go there this week. But yeah, my heating's gone. And just secondly, on my last word, why does the American election take so long?
Oh my God.
So credit to all the people here in Ireland. If there's an election and like bang, within a few hours, we're hoisting someone up on our shoulders, yeah, roaring like, good man, Joe, drive it on now, you know. Because people, there must be class accounting here in Ireland, and they just mustn't have got it over in America.
The American election is just insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
How is it taking so long to count in Nevada? Like, that's literally what Nevada is known for, counting and staying up all night.
You just got a load of poker lads in, whizzing through. Yeah, that's my dirt of the week. But listen, hopefully
by
we'll
the time
the right
people
result.
Are listening to this, the count will have finished, hopefully, so.
You never know, Mara.
Hopefully there's not a civil war, whatever way it goes.
Yeah, that's it from us on the podcast this week. We'll be back next week. We'll be on the extra podcast on Thursday as well. Keep an eye out for us. We'll be around your televisions and stuff like that during the week.
Tune into our Instagrams on Saturday and Sunday mornings. We've got a little thing going on you're going to love.
There you go. Yeah, GA related. Check it out on Saturdays and Sundays. You'll have seen it by the time this comes out. But tune in next week. So from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Mara.
We'll see you next week. Go on.
Good luck.